everyone. Well, take your Bibles tonight and turn with me to the book of Galatians chapter 4 and verse 6. And Galatians chapter 4 and verse 6. And we'll get right into the message. You know, the devil doesn't like Faith Baptist Church. How many of you know that? And do you also know that he doesn't like me? And you know, I cell phones, they amaze me sometimes. Sometimes I think I have it off, and I don't have it off like tonight. That was so embarrassing. And I thought, wow. And like this morning, I was preaching away, and I thought I had my mic on, didn't even have my mic on. Seemed like the devil's trying to get to me through the electronic stuff. But guess what? He's not going to do it. Amen. And I'm going to just keep plowing away. And so make sure your phones are off. I remember not about 2 or 3 years ago I was preaching, and I know in my mind I cut my phone off right in the middle of the sermon. That crazy thing started ringing, and I remember answering it, and I said, "I'm preaching. I'll call you back later." And I just kept a preaching. Amen. And so that's all you can do. That's all you can do. Well, tonight, have you ever heard the statement, "It's natural for a Christian to pray"? Have you ever heard that? Someone told me, "I've never heard that before. It's not natural for me to pray. Sometimes I don't ever even think about prayer unless I have a crisis in my life." Oh, you're in trouble. Amen. You're in trouble. It should be as natural as breathing to you. Amen. And that's what I want to preach to you tonight. Let's stand for the reading of the Bible, Galatians 4 and verse 6. The Bible says this, listen, "And because you are sons," and you can't be a son unless you have repented of your sins. Amen. "And called upon the name of the Lord to save you." That's the only way you can become a child of God. "God hath sent forth the Spirit." Now, I want you to get that. "Because you have been saved, the Holy Ghost is inside of you. Of His Son into your hearts," not into your heads, but into your hearts, "crying," and He's doing something in your hearts. And what is He doing? He's crying, "Abba, Papa, Daddy, Father." Amen. Let's pray. Lord, I love you. I thank you, Lord, for helping us meet again tonight. And Lord, I pray again. Lord, I just want to be loving and caring. I want to be sensitive. I want to be used of you. And Lord, if I can't, I will have a seat. And I know Pastor is not feeling well, but he can call on someone else to take my place tonight. If I can't be loving, if I can't be sensitive and caring, Lord, I'll just have a seat and say nothing and do nothing tonight. Father, I pray for the ones that are here and they're not feeling well. I pray for Jeanette there in California. Lord, I just ask you to touch the bodies of people. Millions of people in this country and out of this country, around the world, are sick tonight. And I pray for them. I pray, Father, for the lost people tonight. That they'll be born again. Tonight. Lord, I'm not asking you to just save them. I'm asking you to save them tonight. And Lord, I know you won't kick down the door, and I know that. I know it's you speak, and then they in their free will have to say yes or no. But Lord, I pray they'll say yes tonight. I sure love you. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Jonathan Edwards said this, "Prayer is as natural as an expression of faith as breathing is of life." Matthew Henry said it like this, "You may as soon find a living man who does not breathe as a living Christian who does not pray." as it is natural for a baby to cry for food when it's hungry or milk when it's thirsty. It is just as natural for a Christian to have a desire to call upon the name of the Lord on a daily basis. Amen? Are you listening? Are you listening? Just as natural. Should be just as natural for you to pray as it is to breathe. And if it's not, you have a problem. Amen? Amen? We have a problem. And there's a problem in a lot of churches, or most churches. There are people that it's not natural for them to pray. They don't even think about prayer unless they have financial woes or family problems or something like that. Or the COVID hits them and then they want to run into the arms of God. But they never think of God until some crisis come into their life. And that shouldn't be. That shouldn't be. And so tonight, I want to bring this message to you. And I told Pastor that I preach so that the youngest child in the auditorium can understand me. I hope I never preach an intellectual message in my life again. I want it to be simple. I want everybody to understand it. Amen. Children, we are missing. We are losing our children with all this deep preaching stuff. We are losing our young people because it's over their heads. I think it should be simple. And I said to the Lord 20 years ago, if you open the doors, I will preach simply and I will preach so that children can understand me. And I have done that. And I'm going to do it again tonight. Amen. Is that okay? Is that okay? Now, look at point number one. Some of you are writing, and that's okay. That's okay, but write and listen. Don't just write. First thing, write it down. It is natural for a Christian to pray because the spirit of prayer, the Holy Spirit, is the spirit of prayer that dwells in them. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We're going to use our Bibles now. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. The Bible says this. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? Notice that. The Holy Ghost is where? Is he in the church house? No. Is he in the heavens? No. Where is the Holy Spirit? He is in you. He is in me. Which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. At the time of your conversion, wherever, whenever it was, the spirit of truth, faith, holiness, grace, supplication, moved into your heart at that very moment. When I was 16, the spirit of God moved into my heart at that very moment that I took two steps to the altar in a little Southern Baptist church. Don't let that bother you. And I got saved. I got born again. Glory to God. And then I preached my first revival a week later, and I've been preaching ever since. And don't let that bother you either, okay? Because I got gloriously saved. The Holy Ghost moved into my heart, and he took up residence in my heart at that very moment, at 16 years of age. When did he take up residence in your heart? Whenever it was, he moved into your temple. Amen. And he moved into your temple and he paid the price for your temple. You don't belong to yourself. People will say, well, this is my life. I'll do with it as I please. It is not your body. It is not your life. It belongs to God. You didn't buy it. He bought it and you belong to him. And we are to glorify God. And the only way we can glorify God is to talk to God. And that should be a natural exercise. Now, look in Romans chapter 8 and verse 15. The Apostle Paul put it this way. He said, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage, again the fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now, listen to me very closely. What I am doing, I am proving to you that it should be natural to pray because the Holy Spirit is inside of you. Now, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, it's not going to be natural, and we'll get to that in a a few moments. But let me read this verse to you again. Romans 8:15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. Listen closely to what it's saying. But ye have received the spirit of adoption. We have become adult children in Christ, whereby we cry, Abba, Papa, Daddy, Father, Holy Father, all the terms for the Heavenly Father. We do that because of the Holy Spirit that lives within us.
Amen.
You say that's not the way it is, Brother Beckham. Sir, that's not the way it is in my life. Well, you might need to get off that pew and come to the altar and cry out to God to save you. Amen. Look in Romans chapter 8 and verse 26. The Holy Spirit moves on the heart of the believer to pray. What I'm doing, I'm proving to you, if you are truly born again, it is natural for you to pray. If it's not, there's a problem. And we'll get to it in a moment. Look in Romans 8:26. The Bible says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. You know what He does? He takes your infirmities, your inabilities, and He gives you the ability to be able to pray. How many of you have ever been on your knees to pray and you didn't know what to say? Amen. I've been there. When Diane was dying, and hey, there was tubes all in her nose and her throat and chest and all kind of places. And I have sat there many nights, and just held her hand and cried. I didn't know what to say, preacher. I didn't know what to say. And how many of you ever been there? How many of you ever been in a situation you just didn't know what to say, and all of a sudden words came into your mind and you knew what to say? That was the Holy Ghost of God that was helping you with your inabilities, your infirmities. And then it says, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. I am so glad tonight to report to you that the Holy Ghost of God prays, intercedes on our behalf. When we don't know what to say, he just takes over and he walks right into the throne room of God and he presents our case to the Father. Amen. I don't know about you, but that should bring a shout. Amen. That's no pumping. That's no nothing. That is just biblical truth. That should bring a joy to our hearts to know that when we don't feel like praying, the Holy Ghost feels like praying and He intercedes for us. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, let me give you the problem. Romans 8 verse 9. The Bible is very, very plain about this. It bothers me to hear people say, I don't feel like, I just don't pray, Brother Beckham. My prayer life is just nothing. I just don't have a desire to pray. That bothers me. It does. It bothers me to hear somebody say, I just don't have a desire. I had an internationally known preacher, a friend of mine, said to me, Benny, let me tell you something. I don't have a desire to pray. Many times, I don't have a desire. I said, oh my soul, sir. I didn't call him brother because I didn't know whether he was my brother or not. I said to him, and he's well known, and I said to him with all the love and mustered up in my body, and I looked at him right in his eyes, and I said, oh my friend, let me say to you, you mean to tell me Galatians 4:6 is not real to you? You better check up. You said, you mean you told a internationally known preacher that? Of course, there's a lot of preachers that's not in the family of God. There's a lot of people sitting in churches are not saved. Preachers get saved in these meetings all the time. Amen. Deacons, Sunday school teachers, all kind of people. Let me read Romans 8 and verse 9 to you. And let me let you in on this secret, because this is a very convicting verse. And I'm going to just read it. I'm not going to interpret it. It says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be that the spirit of God dwells in you. Now, listen. I have already proven to you from the Word of God that if the Holy Ghost is inside of you, you're going to pray. Because He's going to lead you to pray. He's going to give you a desire to pray. I've already proven that, haven't I? From the Word of God. I haven't told you what Benny Beckham thinks about it. I haven't told you what Matthew Henry and Spurgeon, all these guys, says about these verses. I'm just reading the verses to you and letting the verse say to you, the Holy Ghost leads you to pray. And if He doesn't, listen. Now, if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. Amen?
Amen.
Right here at this point, you may say, the Holy Ghost may be saying, that's the reason you don't know me. Because you're not in Christ. That's the reason you don't pray. That's the reason why you don't have a desire to pray. That's the reason why you don't walk with God in a relationship with Him on a daily basis, because you don't know Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Can I read it to you one more time? Because I want you to get this. Teenagers, children, mom and dad, grandma and grandpa, this is a very convicting verse. I have seen people get up and walk down the aisle on this verse. And if you're here tonight, you don't have to wait. And I keep saying this over and over. You do not have to wait until the invitation to get right with God. Amen. I've never understood that. If you're under conviction, just get right with God. Go back to the pew and enjoy the preaching. Don't sit there under conviction for 20, 30 minutes. There's no use in that.
Amen.
Let me read it to you again one more time. Talking about being natural to pray. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be that the spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of His. But I've read you three other verses that says, if the Holy Ghost is inside of you, you will cry, Abba, Father. And if you're not, if you don't have that desire and that hunger, oh my soul, get in the family. Get in the family. Don't let the devil throw you a curve. Don't let the devil take you to hell of being religious. Amen? We don't need religion. We need true salvation. And true salvation will turn the church upside down and really bring Holy Ghost revival. That's what we need. That's what the brother is talking about tonight. That's what happened a little bit last night during that little prayer meeting with 11 men counting me. Amen. The Holy Ghost walked in as we walked in. And someone said, I hope God is going to bless us tonight. I hope He shows up tonight. What in the world? Hope that He's going to show up. We brought Him with us. He's inside of us. He's always with us. And we either praise Him and bring glory to Him with our relationship with Him, or we bring reproach upon Him. Which one are you bringing? When was the last time you talked to the Father? Didn't ask my question. Wanted to wait until right now to ask. Have you talked to the Father today? I know you may have passed out a tract, and that's wonderful. And you may have read your psalm this morning, and that is wonderful. But have you talked to the Father today? And I'm not talking about some problem you have. I'm talking about just walking into the presence of God and saying, Father, I am not here to ask you one thing. I'm just here to tell you I love you. Have you ever done that? You know, have you just walked in and sat down or knelt or whatever posture you want to use and just said, Father, I'm just here today to say I love you. Is that natural? Is that natural? Is that natural? You said, preacher, it's not. You know what the book says? If it's not natural, it may not be in the family. Amen? Oh, that bothers me. I mean, being religious under the steeple, the shadow of our steeples, and still go to hell. Be a member of a Baptist church, independent, fundamental, King James only, soul-winning church, and go to hell. Oh, my soul. Hundreds and thousands of people are members of churches just like this. But they don't know Christ. Don't know Christ. Went through some little ritual. Someone led them through a 1-2-3 prayer. Oh, my soul. Listen. We need more than that. We need more than that. We need people that are truly born again and desiring a relationship with the Lord Jesus. That's what we need. And that's the only hope for our country is to get real. And you may be right here tonight. And you may be, the Holy Ghost may be knocking at your door and saying, that's you. That's you. Why don't you let me save you tonight? Amen. Look at number two. It is natural to assume that believers will pray because we are followers of the Lord Jesus. Look in 1 John 2 and 6. We're going to use our Bible a little more, okay? Is that okay?
Amen.
1 John 2, 6. He that saith, he abideth in him, or himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Now, I have no problem, Pastor Paul. I have no problem in walking. Look up here. I walk perfectly. I have no problem. Now, I would love to walk out there. I really would. That's just me. I love to mingle with the church. But right now, we can't do that kind of stuff. Okay? So just forgive me. But I would love to do that. I love to mingle. I love to walk for the Lord. But let me tell you, it doesn't just say walk. It doesn't just say walk. What does it say then, Brother Doug? Listen, he that saith he abideth in him, that's you. You're a member of this church. You're a member of Faith Baptist Church. You're saying that you abide in Christ. But notice what it also says, that we are to walk as he walked.
Amen.
We are to walk as who walked? Christ walked. Amen. Now let me ask you. See, we preach portions of the Bible, but I have learned that I don't need to preach portions. I need to preach the whole counsel of these verses. Amen. And rightly divide all of these verses. But we get off. Well, if you abide in Christ, amen. That's not what it says. If you say you're a Christian, if you say you're born again, walk like it. Amen? Walk like it. It says that we are to walk as Christ walked. And how did he walk? He was a praying man, number one. He was a loving man, number two. And he lived to try to please the Father in everything he did because he said, I can do nothing without the Father. For the Father doesn't work. And boy, if we ever get a hold of that, we'll have revival. Look in 1 John 2, 4. Look at it with me, please. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments. Oh, it's plain, it's hard, it's a tough verse, but I must read it, is a liar. And the truth is not in him. Church, are you listening?
Amen.
Are you listening to me? Huh? The Bible says if you say that you know him and you don't keep the word of God. In other words, if you say you know him and you don't ever pray, your prayer life stinks. The Bible says you're a liar.
Right.
and the truth is not in you.
Right.
That verse grabbed me years ago. And I'm thinking, but I do love you, Father. He said, yeah, I don't ever hear from you. Only if you have a problem, then I hear you, Benny, coming and running. But, and then I read verses like this. He that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments. Over and over and over we are told, pray ye, pray ye, pray always, pray everywhere, pray without ceasing. All through the New Testament, we are told to do that. And then we don't do it. And the Bible says, you're a liar. And the truth is not in you. That got my attention. Is it getting your attention tonight? Amen. And then look in John 10:27. Jesus again says, listen, my sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. My sheep. Are you a sheep tonight? How many of you are sheep? And not ashamed of it. Are you sheep? Are you in the family of God? And you know you are. Hey, let me see your hands. All right, that's wonderful. The Bible says, my sheep hears my voice. I know them. I know them personally. And they follow me. Are you following him in the realm of prayer? Are you following the instructions in the Bible of that tells us that we are to be a praying people? Are you following those examples? You say, preacher, I'm not. What you waiting on? Amen? I can see the conviction. I can feel the conviction. See, I am told in the Bible that there are more than 30 references in the Gospels along to Jesus praying. I find him praying regarding his baptism. I find him praying all night before he selected the 12. His transfiguration was graced with his praying. He prayed before some of his miracles. He prayed in the garden before the crucifixion. He prayed during the crucifixion. The entire life of Christ was surrounded with nothing more than prayer to the Father. What is your life surrounded with? When was the last time you prayed? Look in Romans 8:27. Here's another verse about Jesus. He maketh intercessions for saints according to the will of God. Hebrews 7:25 says, wherefore he's able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. See, Christ lives to pray for you and me, preacher. He prays for us. Brother, are you listening? Tough, isn't it? When you just get in the Word of God and just let it speak to you. Wow. I told you. Most unusual meeting you will ever be a part of. I don't know. I've been trying to figure these meetings out for the last 20 years. I can't figure out God. And you will never figure out God. Amen? No. I don't know. I don't know why he just walks in these meetings and does what he does. But I'll tell you one thing, I know he does. And I know he walked in here last night. And I know he walked in here again tonight. I know because I walked in here. And I brought him with me. And you have brought him with you. If you're born again. And he's talking to you right now. I'm telling you. I guarantee you, if you are truly born again, he's talking to you. You know how I know that? Because I have read the Bible, and that's the way he talks to us. I don't know what you're doing with the Bible. I don't know. I know what I'm going to do with it, but I don't know what you're going to do. I don't know if you're going to sit there and just let it go over your head and continue to be what you are. I don't know. I don't know if you're going to repent of your sins and get right with God so that God can bless the church and send Holy Ghost revival. I don't know what you're going to do with it, but I know what I'm going to do with it. Number three. Out of 20 points, we just number three. Kidding. Look at number three. It is natural to pray because as believers, we love the Lord. I'm going to read a verse I read this morning. But I want you to look at John 14:15 before we get to verse 21 again. Can I walk right here? This is close enough, okay? Can I ask you a question? This little section. If Brother Beckham asks you if you love God, I don't take for granted, just because a preacher said he's a preacher, that he's saved. I just don't take that for granted no more. I don't take for granted if a deacon board tells me. I've seen the whole deacon board in a church in Georgia get saved during one of these meetings. All seven of them got saved.
Amen.
Amazing. But all seven of them sitting on the front row, that's the way they did it. It was the amen corner and they were the ameners. And all seven of them got saved. Mount Zion Baptist Church. I won't ever forget it. But let me ask you, do you love God? Do you love God? Oh, my soul. You got all kind of reasons to love God. Amen. That testimony last night blessed my heart. I went home and sat there at that table and wept because my Father gave you a liver. You was about to die. And he gave you a liver. Didn't have to, but he did. How many of you has God ever blessed? And you were sitting there, but do you love God? Because I'm going to read a verse to you in a moment. This section right here, do you really love God? This section over here, do you really love God?
Amen.
Amen. Let me show you this. John 14:15. Look at it. If you love me, keep my commandments. Whew, boy, oh boy. Remember that verse. Don't forget that verse. We're coming back to it. John 14:21. He that hath my commandments, we all have Bibles, and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Look in John 14:23 now. If a man loves me, he might keep my words. No, that's not what it says, is it? Someone corrected me real quick. Amen. What does it say? If a man loves me, he what?
Will.
Not might. Not if he feels like it. Not if he has time. But he will keep my words. This is the plain teaching of the Word of God. Those who keep the Lord's commandment loves him. Those that do not keep the Lord's commandment does not love him. Amen? Isn't that pretty plain? Is that simple enough? But that's the simple Word of God. Would you do me a favor? Would you do me a favor? Would you shut your Bibles? And would you stand with me? I'm going to read 8 verses and then 8 verses behind. I'm going to read that verse. If a man loves me, he will keep my word. I'm going to read it 8 times. And as I read this, I want you to get prepared to do what the Holy Ghost is going to ask you to do. Okay? Get ready. If a man loves me, he will keep my words. Now listen. Matthew 6:6. Pray to thy Father. That's the command. You say, oh, that was Jesus talking to those people that day. Well, we might as well throw the book away. If it's not written for us too, we might as well throw it away. I hear people say that stuff. That's silliness. This book was written for us too. Amen. Listen to this. If a man loves me, we'll read it 8 times. He will keep my words. Matthew 6:9. After this manner, pray ye. This is the way I want you to pray, Jesus said. The model prayer. Not the Lord's prayer, the model prayer. Not only the model prayer, but the disciples' prayer, the man's prayer, the family prayer. It's called all kind of stuff. But it's not the Lord's prayer. Matthew 6:9-13 is not the Lord's prayer. The Lord's prayer is what? John 17. Listen, if a man loves me, he will keep my words. Matthew 9:38. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. We take on missionaries. I walk down the hall, saw all the missionaries on the wall. And I always ask the church, how many of you know them by name? We give them $50, $75, $100, whatever you send the missionaries. But do you pray for them? The Bible says we are to pray for laborers. We are to pray for our missionaries. And if you pray for them, you'll know who they are by name. Amen. And you'll know their needs if you read the letters.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, we need to get back praying for our missionaries, not just supporting them with a little money. But we need to pray for them, especially now many of them are coming back. Have a missionary family back there going to Japan. Amen. We need to pray for them. Amen. Give up everything to go to a foreign country. A lot of them don't have washing machines and nothing. Live in a hut. Got a doctor friend that had a mansion for a home. Made a lot of money. God saved him. Sent him to a foreign country where he lived in a hut. His wife had everything. They sold out. She didn't have nothing but the clothes on her back and the suitcase of clothes. Went to a foreign field. We need to pray for those kind of people. If a man loves me, he will keep my words. Matthew 26:41. The Bible says, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. If a man loves me, he will keep my words. Luke 18:1. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. I'm working on a series of messages on that verse. Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer, supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance, supplication for all saints. If a man loves me, he will keep my words. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. If a man loves me, he will keep my words. Last one, I will that men praise everywhere. Why should we pray everywhere? Because God's everywhere. Amen. Georgia people, we wave at everybody. We speak to everybody. North Carolina people's about the same way. Amen. We're friendly, aren't we? We are friendly people. We just do. We wave. My grandson traveled with me 8 years, and I would be talking to people in Walmart or wherever we, and he would ask me, Granddad, do you know those people? I said, no. Well, why are you talking to them? To be friendly, Richard. You have to be friendly to have friends. Amen. That's the reason this waving stuff. You know, I like to talk to people. Amen. I like to hug. I'm one of those huggers. Amen. Yeah. But there it is. I could read many, many more verses about prayer. That should suffice, right? Yeah. If a man loves me, he will keep my words. Now, if everybody in this church, just this small group, would just obey the words of God tonight, this little section, just do what God is telling you to do, whew, the sky's the limit. You want revival? Like my brother was talking about, you want it?
Amen.
You can have it. But you have to obey the voice of the Lord.
Amen.
Do you want it?
Amen.
I heard you, brother. I heard you talking. I heard you last night. But are you willing? Are we willing to do what God says to do? It's takes everybody. Don't just take pastor and staff and deacons. It takes everybody. This little section right here. Are you willing to do what it would take to have revival? What if God walked in and just started doing it like he did in Pennsylvania and Asheboro and Moxville and all these places? Are we ready? Are you ready? What if it went 10 weeks, 20 weeks, 30 weeks? Like some of the old revivals.
Amen.
Are you willing to do that? Amen? See, God doesn't look at the outward motions. He looks inside of us. We say one thing and the inside says something else. How about you folks? Are you willing? You children, are you willing? Teenagers, are you willing? Well, there it is. Right out of the book.
Amen.
I didn't put much in there. I'm trying to get to the point. I just read the scripture. Pennsylvania. There was some nights all I did, got up, read the text and sat down. You say you didn't preach? I said I read the text and sat down. That's preaching. Amen. And the invitation lasted 4 and 5 hours. People, without me even moving, without me getting up saying anything, pastor said, "What do I do?" I said, "You do nothing.
Amen.
If you're asking me, I'm telling you, that's pastor, just keep your seat and let the Holy Ghost do it."
Amen.
And he did. And year and a half later, he's still sitting on the platform. Some nights he preaches, some times he just depends on what's going on at the altar. Amen. So church, Christian people, let's mind God tonight. My lost friend, wherever you're at, if you're in here and you're lost and you're a church member, and a lot of people, the devil said, they're going to laugh at you. They're going to talk about you. If you walk down the aisle and say you're lost, they're going to laugh at you. They're going to gossip about you. You can't listen to the devil. Now, he's the father of all liars. He'll lie. He always has lied. He's going to continue to lie. And don't let him lie to you. Amen. If you're here tonight and the Holy Ghost spoke to you about your relationship with God, your salvation, get that straight tonight. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.